tweet at TodaySOR.
Being a full-time carer for a loved one can be isolating at the best of times. Now, with the outbreak of COVID-19, the things that used to help, like daycare and respite hours, have been scaled back and in many cases cancelled. So how are our carers caring and managing across the country? On the line now are Brenda O'Connell from Charleville in Cork, who's a full-time carer for her son Fionn. Jane Johnson from Kilmore Quay in Wexford cares for her two sons, Evan and Daniel. And Marianne Doyle from Dublin is a full-time carer for her dad, Brian. Good morning to you all. Thank you indeed for joining us. Jane, as I say, you're a carer for your two sons, Evan 19, Daniel 15. How are you managing with this isolation?
Well, look, I suppose, good morning, Sean. Like the rest of the population, we're getting by on day to day, hour to hour. But I suppose for people like ourselves who are family carers, our structure and our routine and the services that I suppose we depend on to negotiate our lives and to negotiate our world have obviously been withdrawn due to the health crisis. And while we completely appreciate that public health and obviously our own health.
And remind me of Evan and Daniel and their needs, and what ages are they?
We did actually speak before around about 2 years
That's
ago,
right.
Sean. Evan is, as I say, he's 19, he's almost 20, he'll be 20 on the 1st of May. Evan has autism. He also has a profound intellectual disability. He's completely nonverbal, Sean, so he has absolutely no speech. He also has a visual impairment. He only has 50% of his vision. He's a very big boy. He's 6'4". His brother Daniel is actually fastly growing up, catching up with him in terms of height. So they're both actually bigger than I am now. Daniel would have some understanding that there's a virus and that the world is closed and that we have to stay home, even though he struggles with that. Evan, on the other hand, wouldn't have, I suppose, the level of abstract thinking. He wouldn't understand that there has been, a need for him to stay at home. And while he is getting, in fairness to the HSE and to our service providers, they're supporting us, in any way that they can. But it is very, very challenging for Evan. He's non-verbal. He would have challenging behaviours. His essence is a very, very loving young man. He's his nickname is actually the Gentle Giant, but obviously there's been an increase in the challenging behaviours due to him not understanding why he has to stay at home, and that his routine has actually been withdrawn, and he's struggling with that. Also, disruptive sleep patterns. You might notice my voice is a bit crackly. It was around about 4:30 when we got to sleep this morning. So obviously, if he's up, I'm up. It's very, very challenging. Getting through the days one day at a time there. And I was just listening to the minister and your chat with him. And I suppose we're also worried about, what comes after this. We're looking to the future and this time ending at some point.
Of course.
And how things might change. And I suppose recessions haven't worked out very well for family carers and for people with additional needs and disabilities. And I suppose, family carers are the silent and invisible workforce. 355,000 of us, Sean, working nationwide in our homes, keeping the people that we care for well and out of hospital. Enormous personal sacrifice,
Jane,
in our own lives.
Stay with us. It's obvious from listening to you, you're having a tough time. I mean, as though it wasn't tough enough as things were prior to all of this. I want to turn now to Brenda O'Connell in Charleville in Cork. You, as I say, you're a full-time carer for your boy, Fionn. He's 4 years of age. Is that right?
He'll be 6 in August, Sean.
Yes, so he's 5 now. And
he is.
You have a health condition yourself.
I have lupus myself, so I'm immunosuppressed as well. So I have that anxiety on top of all the other anxieties that Jane has just spoken about.
Yeah, and what services had you been able to draw upon to help you with Fionn prior to this, that allowed people to come and go or allowed you to access those services?
Well, Fionn has been going to a wonderful school since September just gone, and he started off 3 days a week, and we had recently just increased him to 5 days. And while he's in that beautiful school, he gets stretched and he gets hydrotherapy and back therapy. He gets interaction with his friends and his teachers and SNAs. And, you know, he's missing out on all that now. I have to try and do as much as I can here at home with him while doing all the other jobs that we do around the house as well.
And have you anybody coming in to help? I know, I think your husband is working in a factory, so and he's doing long shifts. So who's there to help you, or who comes?
That's right. Well, I still have my nurses. I know an awful lot of the other families have stopped their nursing, but with my underlying condition, I've weighed up the pros and the cons, and I just can't say goodbye to my nurses yet. I have to hold on to them as long as I can, Sean, because with my own health, I genuinely don't know how long that I could hold going, staying up all night and all day. You know, Fionn can be very agitated, and when he's going through these agitated phases, he can cry and scream for 6 and 7 days, and he won't sleep at all during the night. Those nights.
Good and, heavens! Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I just.
And do the nurses who come in, do they, for instance, have to wear the personal protective equipment? And if they do, I mean, how do you source that? And how does Fionn react to the sight of them in that kind of equipment?
Well, when they come, hopefully going well, Fionn is resting and he's in his room, but at the start, we had no PPE. All we get is gloves, usually. And Family Carers Ireland are fantastic. They're such a great support to us. They sourced us some hand sanitising gel, liquid, actually. So that was the first bit of PPE we got. And eventually, we sourced some aprons, plastic aprons, and masks, and gloves from the agency that supplies the nurses. But that took us a couple of weeks. You know, we didn't have that immediately. So, you know, it's a big worry for me, and it's a big burden on me. You know, I feel really bad for having to keep the nurses coming, you know, that I can't cope myself, but I genuinely can't cope.
But you shouldn't be feeling bad now yourself. I mean, you need all the help you can get by the sound of things.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, stay with us again, Brenda, because I want to go to Maura Ann Doyle. You're caring full-time for your dad, who has, I think, got a big roundy birthday coming up.
He'll be 90 next month.
And what's his situation?
He has vascular dementia. He was diagnosed about 6 years ago. But we suspect, like a lot of these conditions, it was masked by himself. He's a great dad and a phenomenal man and a great actor, so could cover up a lot of situations. From the point of view of the family setup, myself and my three siblings, we all lived outside Ireland. So we noticed Dad's, he used to jokingly say there's always a Doyle a week somewhere in the world between brother in London,
yeah,
England.
Yeah, and you came home from Canada.
I did indeed, yeah.
And you've been minding him pretty much full time. Does he have much awareness, by the way, of what's happening now in this crisis, and how how is his life restricted by it?
It is restricted from the point of view. We did have a certain routine, and I'm carrying on that routine as best as I can from the point of view of breakfast, lunch, getting up, etc. But it is the constant questions, because he is, I wouldn't say a news junkie, but it's all new to him with the vascular dementia. He has no short-term memory whatsoever. So we rely very heavily on kind of whiteboards and routine as to what he expects in it is subconscious. So it's the constant reminders, as they say. It's like living in Groundhog Day permanently. Mind you, going through this at the moment, I have to question myself what day of the week it is. But I feel, having gone through all this, it's the feeling of kind of helplessness. And when I do go out to the shops, I feel that I'm going to bring something back in that's going to affect my dad. So, again, I have that feeling of guilt, which is, it's kind of like taking a step back 4.5 years ago when I came home.
You mentioned that he's something of a news junkie now. Presumably he listens to the radio, watches television.
Constantly.
But has it sunk in?
Not really. Not really. And I have written down on the board, you know, that Leo Varadkar has said we have to stay in because of this flu virus. That it's, and he looks at the deaths, obviously. One of the things older people tend to do is look at the headlines and then turn to the deaths page, and was remarking that it was 3 days, 3 pages full the other day, and said this is really bad, you know, what's going on? And again, I have to repeat that over and over again.
And what about outside support? Has that changed?
It has, Sean, from the point of view, I had to put a hold on the home care that we were getting 1 hour a day. From 10 until 11 from the HSE. So it's from that point of view, that was the only assistance we got.
Yeah, and that's gone now?
Yes, yeah.
And would you be hopeful that maybe things will improve a little bit once we come through this crisis?
Well, it's one of the wonderful things about having a phone line, the helpline for the Alzheimer's Society, 1-800-341-341, is that they are so full of hope and specific, very comforting knowledge. And their whole thing is to deal in the now and not kind of go down the black hole of, you know, what if, what if, what if. It's just dealing with the constant, just having that flexibility and understanding that nothing can be predicted. You don't know. All we can deal with is what we have right now, which is what I've been living with for, you know, the 4.5 years, is Dal can only deal with now. Mm-hmm. You may plan, but you have that to have, like Jane and Brenda, you have to have that flexibility to just kind of say, fine, that's not going to work today, and move on to what my loved one needs.
And coming back to yourself, Jane, in Kilmore Quay in Wexford, I know that you and your boys, you had a terrible blow 5 years ago with the sudden death of your husband, Rod.
That's right, yeah. Rod passed away in 2014, Sean, due to a massive cardiac arrest. He was just 50 years old at the time. So I suppose regardless of the passage of time, his absence is forever present in our home. Mm-hmm. No more so than it is now at the moment. He was always, you know, I mean, he worked full time outside of the home. He worked full time in the home as well. He was very dedicated to his family and to his children. And I suppose for me personally, he was the one who looked after me. He was the one who asked me, Jane, are you okay? You know, or made me cups of coffee, or, you know, so look, it's his absence is always a big thing in our house, Sean, but it's significantly increased at the moment.
He's not there to ask you, but people will be wondering, how are you managing, Jane?
Look, it's just day by day, Sean. Like Brenda was saying, Family Carers Ireland are a great support. You know, with their care line, they've been in touch with us. I've also got hand sanitizers, which even those small things, rather than the boys were almost having behaviors with me constantly bringing them to the sink to wash their hands. So actually even having a bottle of hand sanitizer and being able to bring that to them, you know, alleviate some of the behaviors. Look, I'm very lucky in the friends and in the community that I have. I doubt that there's a day that ever goes by that somebody doesn't ring me or text and say, look, I'm going to the shop. Do you need anything, or do you need anything from the chemist? But I'm also very acutely aware that, you know, my neighbours and friends are trying to survive this themselves. Many of them have lost their jobs. They're trying to keep businesses together. And I suppose like many carers, you know that support is there if you really need it, but you tend not to ask. You know, for I suppose maybe because first of all, I value my independence. And second of all, you're waiting for that time where you're in absolute crisis and you know that you will need to make many phone calls and you're holding out till that time comes. You hope it won't come, but you know it might. So, you know, you do tend to hold back. But it does mean a great deal that you know, that people are thinking of you. And, you know, even just yesterday, Sean, two of the special needs assistants that worked with my sons when they were very little, one of them worked with Evan when he was just 4 years of age. The other one worked with Daniel when he was 4 years of age. So, I mean, Evan is almost 20 now. Daniel is almost 16. But They arrived into our drive and left a bag at the door with chocolate Easter bunnies and straws and a big thing of coffee for me. And all those years that have passed by, but they still think of us and they still think of the boys. So it's those little things and what we do together as a community, I suppose, and that the support structure, even though we've moved on from school to day service, you know, that those people still think of us and still care about us. I suppose even psychologically for me, even though I can feel sometimes very alone and very isolated, that reminds me actually I'm not on my own. And,
okay, well look, Jane, thank you so much indeed. You've told that really well. And I just one of the texts that's coming, I see, Sean, that image of that mother having to take her big 6'4" tall sons to the sink to wash their hands. Most of us have no idea what other people are going through. She sounds like a wonderful mother, I think, and so say all of us. Indeed, I think all three of you have stopped us in our tracks this morning. We might think we have problems in dealing with all of this, but there is nothing there. Those problems are as nothing with in comparison to what you guys are dealing with. And I can only wish you well and thank you all for highlighting what some families are going through. That's Brenda O'Connell in Charleville, full-time carer for Fionn, and also Jane Johnson there in Kilmore Quay in Wexford, catering for two sons, Evan and Daniel, and Maura Ann Doyle, full-time carer for her dad, Brian, who's got his 90th birthday coming up in the month of May. We'll take a break.